It's more than just your output, more than a bike. When you hear your shout out, you know it's all right. Put on your magic pants and let's go. We're cruising into the power zone. Clip in, set yourself free. Come on and take a ride with me. You know what you need to know and what's it all about. Everything you need, it's on the Clip Out.
Welcome to the Clip Out Podcast, episode 343. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe. So my day got off to a great start.
My day got off to also a great start. You go first.
So I was halfway to work. I don't even know how I did this because it's such a part of my routine. I was halfway to work and I didn't have my little cooler that I take every day with all my sodas.
I don't even know how you did that.
And my MetPro snacks and my lunch. And I'm halfway to work and I just look over and I'm like, my passenger seat is empty. Where's my food and drink? And so I had to turn around and come all the way back home so I could get my first thought was like, you know, I'll just stop at a gas station and buy soda.
Yeah.
And I was like, what about my lunch? And I was like, well, maybe I can like muddle through with like some beef jerky or something. And then it was like, oh, but my snacks, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And I had to turn around and go back.
That, you know, and it's probably for the best because if you hadn't, it would have been so easy to like go off plan for the whole day. Like once you crack it open,
yes,
it's so hard to reel it back in.
Yes.
So, yeah. And my day just started crappy because people kind of suck and there's just been a lot of sucky things happening.
Yeah.
But
nothing like awful, but
no,
just,
no,
yeah,
just annoyance. It's yeah, all minor annoyances,
but
my day
up.
My day did turn around very recently.
That is true.
So
I guess we'll have more news on that later.
Okay,
so I want to get out in front of things.
Okay,
so but we should, I guess, start by, should we do bingo here?
Just, oh yeah, we yeah, could do that.
Okay.
Oh gosh, I don't have the spreadsheet open, so
I will vamp.
Oh,
so
Lord,
we're doing bingo and it's we have all the instructors on a card and you can go to the places where the thing is at and then you can get that and then you can mark them off as you do the bingo with the bingos and the B19 bingo. We're
go
also
on
selling clip out branded blotters.
No.
In our online store.
No.
And
I'm ready.
We have smokeless ashtrays because do they still let you smoke at bingo? I just remember when I got taken to bingo when I was a kid, it was like it's like I don't know if we ever won money, but we did win emphysema.
Yeah, that's fair. There's just something about bingo and like stamping all the little things. I still enjoy that. I still enjoy the bingo, but I have to take a moment and say that, like, this card that Nikki created is just gorgeous.
It's a very nice design.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
It's beautiful. She has skills, and I appreciate it. But our first instructor of the week, there will be three if you include the bonus episode this week.
Okay.
Then our first one is Eric Jaeger. So for the German instructors, if you haven't been taking classes with German instructors, what you want to do is you want to make sure that your filter includes all of the German instructors or you won't be able to find any classes and you will be like, did you make this person up? So that
okay
is our first instructor.
And we will have a second one later in the episode. It could pop up at any time, like whack-a-mole. Do your whack-a-moles make noise?
Yeah.
Do they? The whack-a-moles around here were silent.
Hmm.
So I guess they were different in a small town.
Yeah.
Maybe you got the older whack-a-mole machines. When we were done with them, they were starting to get rusty. And then,
well, it is a podcast. A lot of people are only listening by audio. So I was being like exciting. I was adding some layers, some texture.
Some ambient noise.
There you go.
Okay. What?
That was a whack-a-mole.
I thought a whack-a-mole was coming at me.
It was. It's going to be.
It's going to do some whacking. Wait, what?
No.
No. It's, don't. Don't go to the YouTube for that.
Oh my God.
So you can, we should also say thank you to everyone that showed up for the book club.
Yes. Well, Book Lovers was a really fun book and we had a lot of fun discussing it. So thank you for everyone that showed up. And our next book club will be on February 13th. And we are going to be reading Turning Inward by Ross Rayburn. And what a treat this book is. Oh my God. It is so good. All type A personalities, I think, is required reading. I love it.
Okay. I'm not a type A, so I guess I'm off the hook.
It's like you were going to read it anyway.
That's also true.
I mean,
yeah.
You just show up to make jokes. We know. I do. We know.
I read that first book.
Yeah.
I got off to a good start there.
You did.
Yeah.
And then you were like, eh.
I'm like, yeah, I'm good. So we should also let people know what is in store for them this week.
Well, we have our interview with Mandy Rose. Mandy is the person who was at the New York City Marathon where Tunde like was struggling and she kind of helped her cross the finish line. What an inspiration that Mandy was. So we interviewed her and that was just a really fun conversation.
Get a firsthand account of that tale.
Yes. Also, we have a lot of Peloton in the news. We're going to be talking about TikTok. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the stock market, all of those kinds of things. And we have instructors in the news. So yeah, we're going to talk about Jen Sherman. It's going to happen.
For sure.
I have some things to say.
Okay.
And then lots of other instructor news, not to mention we have a visit from Dr. Jen, and we're going to be talking about a very serious subject. It's weighty. It needs to be said though. I mean, I didn't realize how much it needed to be said till we had this conversation, but we're going to be talking about celebrating while Jewish with anti-Semitism on the rise. And it is, I thought, a great conversation.
Absolutely.
We're also going to hit our artist series and we have a lot of content. Birthdays galore. I think I got it all.
Okay. Well, before you get to all that, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, iHeart, TuneIn, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's super helpful and greatly appreciated. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/theclipout. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/theclipout, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, a special episode with all the stuff that we didn't have time for in this episode. And last week's was free. So if you haven't checked it out, it's still over there waiting for you if you want to give it a listen to see what a bonus episode sounds like. And you also get these episodes ad free. And if we get them early, you get them early. Last week, it was if we get them late, you get them late.
Yeah. That's a whole nother story. You got to listen to the bonus to know all the things going on.
Tail on the bonus episode. But and then, of course, don't forget, you can watch all of these episodes on YouTube. I don't know if last week's has gone up yet or not.
I don't know.
So, but more often than not, you can watch them on YouTube. How about that? And we have a newsletter, which goes out weekly, and you can sign up for that at theclipout.com. So there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
Peloton in the news.
Peloton has joined forces with the Tickety Talk.
It has. There it is. It is happening. So TikTok Fitness is apparently a hashtag you can follow. I say apparently because let's face it, I'm going to be learning this with you if you're not already on TikTok. And apparently, they're going to have live classes over there. You might remember that when Fide was in the studio, he got a custom green bike and they, for the very first time ever, broadcast a class live there. Well, they're going to be doing that on a monthly basis. We're unsure exactly how many classes that's going to encompass.
Right.
There will also be like behind the scenes things. So if they have artists in the studio, you might get behind the scenes with that. You might get some behind the scenes with the instructors. And of course, the instructors are also separately over on TikTok. So you will continue to get their content there as well. So the thing is that I think what it's important to remember, and this kind of goes into the next article too, Tom, so feel free. It's important to remember that why Peloton would do this. There are people that feel that Peloton is stretching themselves too thin, that it's silly, just keep it to the basics. And I would say, Well, if you want Peloton to have any chance of surviving and you want them to be profitable, we need to bring in new users of Peloton. No, they can't just kind of stagnate and be happy with the ones they have, although they should fix their customer service issue with the ones they have. But until that occurs, they're going to keep growing. They're going to keep trying to grow. And TikTok is absolutely smart. It brings in the young people. Yeah. So that is what they should be doing. That's
you got to be where the people are.
You do. And if you want to appeal
like Ariel.
To exactly. And if see the people that this is targeting are not going to know that reference.
Exactly. So, well, they might because there was just a new one.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay. They wouldn't know it from the original.
Yes.
But it makes sense. And it makes so much sense that, you know, for once, Wall Street actually had something positive to say.
I know, right? That's that's a surprise that Peloton shares surge 15% as it partners with TikTok to offer short form fitness classes.
Yeah. You know, I'll go back to what they said last year. They are going to continue to be in places you've never seen them before.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Ta-da. And then moving along, I guess we should also point out an article from Bar Chart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or NASDAQ.com. And I guess the article or the columns called that. But anyway, they're saying that they think Peloton could be one of the surprise winners of 2024.
Yeah. I have no idea if, you know, anybody on Wall Street will continue to feel this way or, you know, they'll make somebody else mad and it'll go right back down. But I will say this. I think that they've been down for a long time and they've been building and they've been building a lot of momentum. It's not crazy that finally something hits and that people are happy about it. This will grow. This will grow Peloton.
They've been doing a lot of the fundamentals that they kind of succeeded in spite of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finally maybe rounding a corner to starting to see the payoff of kind of doing the fundamentals. Okay. And I will say, how long has it been since we've seen a major stock focused publication say something positive about Peloton stock?
A long time.
I mean, it would be probably in the pandemic.
Yeah, probably. There have been articles here and there that have remained like optimistic about Peloton, but even those went awry towards the end of last year.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of just the same old, same old. I'm glad it's positive. I'm glad it's positive.
So, like I said, maybe it's, you know, all these little changes that Barry has been making are finally starting to gain traction and pick up some momentum.
Yeah, but there's a lot of the old school that really feels like everything Barry does is wrong. Like everything. It's really interesting to me.
So here's a little thing I've noticed about the internet. People like to bitch.
What?
I know. It's a hot take, but
wow.
It's just something.
I thought everybody was happy there all the time.
Just something I've been kicking around the old noggin. but it's nice to see someone finally being like, hey, maybe they're figuring this out.
Yeah, it is.
Which is what we've been saying for a while now.
It is.
We were skeptical at first.
Can we? Oh, for sure. I'm well on record. Can I also touch on this whole like Apple Deepwater thing for just a moment, too?
Sure.
I don't know why the internet thinks that it's a new suggestion every year when someone
says that
Peloton is going to be acquired by Apple.
Yeah.
But every year it like spreads like wildfire. And what the real takeaway from that should be is that people do that to get clicks. And at some point it's going to be true. I'm not saying it won't be true this time, but what I will say is it's literally been a headline every single year since I've had my Peloton.
Yeah, it's like every 8 to 9 months, somebody's like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
What if Apple bought them?
Now, I will say this Deepwater, apparently the reason that people are so excited about it is that they were the ones that originally were like, Apple is going to be the wave of the future. Like they called it. And also, like, I don't know, a bunch of their predictions came through last year as well. Like they have a pretty good record.
Right.
But I don't know. I think there's a lot of problems with this, and it always has been. One, it's an Android tablet. 2, what about all their debt? 3, you think they're going to take on all that risk? People got, you know, there have been some major lawsuits with this.
And they don't have a long and rich history of acquiring other equipment.
No.
With the exception of Beats.
Yes. And Peloton is currently valued at like $9 million. Like that would be the price tag that I read. I have no idea where they came up with that.
$9 million?
I'm sorry, billion.
Okay, I was like.
Billion? I'm like, with a B?
$9 million? I'm like, well, maybe we should buy it. I think I could scrounge up $9 million to buy Peloton.
Just got it laying around. Hang on, let me check my couch cushions.
I'm going to go start a GoFundMe.
billion.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And so they were saying that like that's 3 times the amount that Apple has ever spent on an acquisition before. Yeah. Now, still, I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it happens every year. And I don't know why people are so excited about
until
it.
Until our tarot card reader predicts it.
It ain't happening.
I don't buy it.
Hey, tarot card reader is hitting it hard this year.
She came out of the gate hot.
She did, man. There's been so much that she got right already. So.
Absolutely. The Peloton Corporate Wellness Program has added rentals.
Yeah, this is really cool because if your company is part of the corporate wellness program, then you have the ability to rent a bike or a bike plus. And for the bike, you get $10 off the monthly rental fee. And for the bike plus, you get $20 off the monthly fee. So that's really cool.
Yeah, especially as this rolls out to more and more companies. There's a lot of people out there that have it, and there's probably a lot more that are gonna get it that don't realize yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. And so I think this is a really good area for them to grow in because there's a lot of people that probably weren't comfortable trying it. But when you add renting, you add it through your company, you add it a discount, who's not gonna be in?
Yeah, especially like I know that there's still a lot of people out there that have that mentality of like, oh, it's gonna become a clothes hanger. And so I get like, well, let's rent it.
Yeah.
For 3 months. Yeah. And if it does,
you can send it back.
We can send it back and we're not locked in. And if we love it and we're using it like crazy, then we continue the rental or we just
do a buyout
and buy one. So the Peloton On Tour merchandise, if you didn't get to the various locations, and I would think very few of you got to all of the locations. I mean, it's Peloton, not the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that merch is now available in Peloton's apparel store.
It is. And it's funny. I'm a little not sure how I feel about it. Yeah. Because if you like the specialness of it was that you could only get it in the one place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it that it's like leftover stuff. They're going to sell
overstock.
It. Yeah, it's overstock. Sell it. I mean, it makes sense. That's the right call. I'm just not 100% like, yay about it. You know,
look, when the monkeys came to town, they're selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
At the merch booth. Mm-hmm. But when the tour's over, the leftover stuff goes up on rhino.com.
But the thing is that it was city specific.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go to a monkeys tour, they have
not
all the
anymore.
Cities. I know, babe. I'm sorry. I am. But it had all the cities listed.
Yeah.
So if these had all the cities listed, that's a different story.
Gotcha.
But this is like specifically you get a water bottle with Los Angeles on it or specifically with London on it. So when I got it for people and sent it to them, that was special.
Yeah.
And now I know that they could have just went on and got it themselves. So not so special.
Well, it's still special because you were thinking of them. And when you sent it, they didn't know that they were going to be able to get it.
That's true, but yeah.
And is everything on it? I didn't know. I didn't know if there were maybe a comprehensive deep dive. Like maybe like, you know, they have Los Angeles bracelets, but not London bracelets or.
Well, and by the time this airs, who knows that's up there for a few days. You know, I don't know how many they had left of each thing. So who knows? But
I also wonder how many people want to pay full price for because most of it seems to not doesn't look like it's marked down. Like it's not clearance level stuff yet. And so it's like, would you want to pay full price?
If you didn't go,
like, it's like, well, you didn't go to Peloton On Tour Los Angeles. So do you really want the water bottle or the t-shirt? Like, it's not a memory you possess. So
true. I'm sure if you wait long enough, it'll die down.
Yeah. Like, you know, they might be putting on clearance here soon. And then it's like, oh, okay. For that price. Sure. Why not?
We'll see.
Speaking of apparel,
mm-hmm.
there was a new apparel drop.
There was. It was another Lululemon and Peloton collab. And this one has more of the extended sizes. We're seeing that again. Mm-hmm. There are items that don't have the extended sizes. As we told you, they were going to probably not have everything until next year.
Yeah.
But
you would see those quantities increasing.
Exactly.
As we progress.
Right. That is exactly right. Personally, I wasn't too excited about any of these. The colors are just, they're just not speaking to me.
Right.
You know, but I will say that the material and everything is really nice. And if you like Lululemon, especially, it's so nice to have like a variety of things that have Peloton and Lululemon on it. It's nice. Just not my thing right now.
So we're hearing rumblings of a Peloton event of some sort coming up at the Mall of America.
Yeah, you might remember when Peloton on Tour was in Chicago, we talked about the fact that there are two locations where Lululemon has these experiential stores and they're ginormous. And the Chicago event, like where everybody met for, I think it was the kickoff run or something like that, it was all held at the Lululemon store. That particular place has room to have live classes, and it has all kinds. It's just huge. It's just ginormous. Well, the sister store is in Mall of America. So our theory is that they are going to do a similar event with those Lululemon ambassadors that are Peloton instructors at the store. And potentially, maybe there will be some live classes in that space. But even if there's not, I'm sure there will be meet and greets. So I don't know yet anything about it. But I tell you this so that you can make sure and keep your eye out, because the second these tickets go on sale, they're going to go fast.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout.
And we should talk sports here ever so briefly, because people will know how much we love sports
right
around here.
But thank you, Helper B, Nikki.
Yes. But Peloton's first NCAA partner, which was University of Michigan, mm-hmm. they won the big football game thing.
They did. It was the national championship.
Okay.
And like, they won it by a lot. Like, my understanding is like 15-0 or something like that. Like, it was like a total shutout, I thought. But Nikki goes on to say, in real sports terms, that the University of Michigan won the college football national championship on Monday night. And their NIL player, name, image, likeness player, Blake Corum, rushed for 135 yards with two touchdowns. And thank you, Nikki. That means he ran a total of 134 yards in the game. And he was named co-MVP of the game.
Well,
I'm so glad she explained yes. that in terms I could read and understand.
Yes, because we're like, oh, football. Are they still doing that?
Is that a thing?
Oh, that's cute.
I actually have a MetPro client who listens to the show. I am not going to call her out, but I will say that she went to the game in, I guess, the Rose Bowl. And then if they won that game, she was going to the big Michigan game. And
gotcha.
She did, and she had a great time. So that's all I'll say about that.
Okay. And coming up after this, we're going to talk instructors in the news. We're going to give you the breakdown on Jen Sherman versus Christopher Nolan. So sit tight. You know, so many people look to avoid carbs these days for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
And that means you have to give up so many great foods. But I think one of the hardest things is bread.
Yeah, because a lot of times the carb reduction also means that the texture changes. It means that the taste changes. So that can feel like a lot to give up.
And that's where Hero Bread comes into play. This is the first white bread I've had in
forever.
Years. I couldn't even tell you how long.
Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time.
I missed you, white bread.
Well, it's nice because Hero Bread, it's actually a large piece of bread, like you would say a normal size piece of bread.
Larger than normal.
Yeah, I mean,
like Texas toast size.
Yeah. And the texture is real bread.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's amazing.
I just had it as toast.
Yeah.
I didn't have to. It wasn't like, oh, it's a sandwich. Toast.
And you enjoyed it.
I did. It's 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and it's high in fiber.
Don't give up on bread. Hero Bread is offering 10% off of your order. Go to hero.co and use TCO at checkout.
That's TCO at hero.co. Man, there is nothing worse than when you buy a pair of sunglasses
and then you lose or break them.
I would agree. So what do we do about that?
Well, that's where Gooder comes in. Their sunglasses are $25 each. So nobody likes to throw away $25, but it's a lot better than throwing away $100 or more on a pair of broken sunglasses, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I have to say, that's not my favorite part about Gooder. My favorite part about Gooder is that when I run, they don't slip, they don't bounce, and they're 100% polarized. And they also come in like a million different colors and styles.
For your $25, you're not sacrificing comfort, safety, or style. If you want to support the show and pick up a pair, Gooder is giving the Clip Out listeners free shipping on their first order. Just go to gooder.com/TCO. That's GOODR.com and use code TCO to get free shipping.
Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Find your pair at gooder.com/TCO and use code TCO to get free shipping.
Instructors in the news.
So the big story last week was Christopher Nolan versus Jen Sherman.
Yeah. So I guess Christopher Nolan was interviewed by Variety magazine and he was having this whole big spiel about how like not everybody should get to tell their opinion about things.
I don't think that's exactly how he framed it.
Well, I will say that is how people are hearing it.
Yeah, like I think
it comes off a little.
I think he was more like, I think it was more the surprise element for him. Like, right, he's like, if I'm reading a movie review from Rex Reed or Real Spoilers.
right.
Because
right.
I know Christopher Nolan is a huge Real Spoiler fan.
He's watching every week, yeah. I'm sure.
And,
yeah.
And then he's like, I can kind of steel myself. Like, right, like I know that they're about to critique what I've done.
See, I didn't get that takeaway at all.
Where when I'm on the bike, and all of a sudden my Peloton instructor is like, your last movie was a big giant ball of shit. He's like, oh, I was not expecting that.
Also, she did not say that. She did not say that.
I was paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But I think that was the gist.
Well, how come when I paraphrase what he was saying, you're like, well, that's not how he framed it.
I don't feel like I changed the tone of what she said.
No, I don't think she said anything.
She said it was 2 hours of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah, but she also was careful to say it was because she didn't understand
yeah.
it. And the thing is like we watched Tenet.
Yeah.
And I was so like, wait, why do they keep going back? And it was so hard to follow.
For people who haven't seen Tenet,
hard to follow.
It's about time travel. And so it's not like like a silly Back to the Future kind of time travel. It's really more of like, what if it was real? And it treated it in a very like serious,
clinical
yeah,
sense.
Like sciencey kind of way of like, here are the ripple effects. And so it's kind of telling like three stories at once. And like, they're all at different points at time, but happening simultaneously. And I really liked the movie.
I'm not even saying I didn't like it, but it was confusing.
You know, I was about to say, but I totally get why she had that reaction because it is a very densely packed movie. And one of the things I like about Christopher Nolan is he doesn't spoon feed you things. Like the information is there, but it's definitely designed for you to digest and pick up on clues that are happening rather than just like having a character say, hey, remember that time we met 4 years ago? And then you're like, people don't talk like that, right?
That's true.
So I get it's a very hard to unpack film.
I will also say you and I have talked about this extensively, and this was a really cool movie to watch. Like
it
as far as all the visual
great.
Effects, like
yeah.
you cannot take that away. But I have to agree with Jen Sherman, not to the point of like, that's 2.5 hours. I'll never get back. There are other movies we have watched I absolutely feel that way about, but this was not one of them. It was like a lot. And
yeah.
I think it's also one of those movies for me personally, had I watched it again, I probably would have enjoyed it more the second time.
For sure.
But at any rate, she said, I guess, 4 years ago. So let's put this in context.
That's also the funny thing. That was so long ago.
Yeah, she said this on a ride that was 4 years ago. And she definitely took him to task and had no idea, of course, that someday Christopher Nolan would be taking her ride and hear this review. So he was making his point in Variety magazine, used that as an example, didn't say the instructor, didn't say the movie, but you know, yeah. I mean, the Peloton people, we're going to figure it out.
Oh,
I guess
sure.
What we do. And so we found out what class it was. We went through that. Well, then Jen Sherman that night, she put together, I thought, a wonderful response, which was basically something to the effect of, listen, I am sorry that she didn't say I'm sorry. She said, I want to say that even though I didn't understand anything about that movie, I also loved Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And she's watched it twice. And she said that's 6 hours. I never went back, which honestly, I disagree with that. But then she went on to say that she invited him to class. It would be insult free and they'd have a great time. And then Christopher Nolan was interviewed again after the Golden Globes the other night. And he was like, somebody said something like, are you on your Peloton? And he was like, all love to Peloton, but no, I'm not on my Peloton.
He said, I did not get on the bike today.
Yeah, but that's not what people heard.
Yeah.
Because that's not what drives clicks. So then it started the whole thing up all over again. It's been a media frenzy. Poor Jen Sherman.
Oh, poor Jen Sherman. Nothing. This is great for her.
It is great for her image, you know, but like to think that you actually upset somebody that you genuinely care about. Like,
she even says when she's talking about Tenet that she's like, she likes Christopher Nolan movies. Just this one didn't work for her.
Right. So I think that would kind of get to you. And Jen is a nice person. So then, you know, because nothing ever goes away, of course, it was on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, like he got a couple jokes in about it on the late night.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so I think ultimately it was a good thing for her. It definitely raises her profile. And it also, I think my guess is Christopher Nolan loves the classic rock. He's 53. He's the same age as me.
I love that they use the exact same segments that I did in their little recap.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go on.
But I think he gravitates towards Jen Sherman because of the music. Not that he doesn't like her personality, too. But like, I think like people, they dig her tunes. She's definitely has very much a classic rock bent.
Yeah.
In her music selections.
So yeah.
That
I mean,
is
she
my
does for
prediction.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is also interesting because Christopher Nolan really doesn't use a lot of like music in
okay,
his movies,
but when you
like
are
songs.
When you're a person that like makes all these choices like he does, do you get to like get that involved? Like, do you pick that? Because I thought they had people for that too.
So it depends on the movie, right? So like if you're making kind of a standard rom-com, then there's probably a music supervisor that goes through and says, oh, let's drop in this song here and this song there. And but like when you're Christopher Nolan, you are an auteur.
Okay.
So you are picking everything. Like everything's like he would not if he wants a certain song,
it's going to be in it.
It's going to be in it. And if he can't get it, then he will probably completely retool the whole scene. So like he's never going to turn over a film and just be like drop in a classic rock song from 70 to 73. Like he would never do that.
Okay.
Cody Rigsby is heading to London with his book in hand.
He sure is. You get two chances for classes in London. One is an XOXO Cody class, and I think the other one is a pop class. But there's your chance. Take your classes while you can.
Yeah, if you're over there in the UK.
Who knows when you'll get another shot.
For sure. You have to fly all the way to New York.
Exactly.
Bex Gentry is your latest rowing instructor.
She is, and I am really excited about this. Like, she started doing boxing a while back, and I'm just not that excited about boxing in general, the shadow boxing. So I hardly ever take those classes, but I just love Bex in general as an instructor. I think she's amazing, and I am so excited that she is our newest row instructor, and her premiere class is actually tomorrow. It's going to be happening before this airs, but I hope to be on just to show my support. She's a really nice person, and I appreciate her.
So Allie Love is or is not writing a book, depending on who you ask, and by who I mean Allie Love.
Yeah. What a freaking cluster this turned into this week. And I don't even care at this point who hears it. Yeah, we all saw this segment that Allie Love said she was writing a book. Like, she freaking said she was writing a book.
On national television.
But apparently, we all simultaneously misinterpreted it. And yeah. I was told to take it all down. Take it down. And I was just like, well, is the Today Show going down? No. Okay, well, then I stand by what I wrote.
Yeah, and that's so what she said.
Now so. She has pivoted on her Instagram Live, and she is saying she has outlines, but she never said she was writing a book. So you take that for what you will. My guess is at some point we're getting a book from Allie Love.
Yeah.
Go with that and do what you will.
My first thought was maybe she writes books the way I read books.
What's that?
Like you get 10, 15 pages in, and if they blow, you stop.
I mean, maybe. I will say people were like really shitty about this one. We have reached the tipping point where people were like, no, not another book. I don't care. So maybe she read that and she was like, nope. I don't know.
Who knows? Could be that. I had another theory, which is that like she's got a book deal in place and like she accidentally got out in front of the announcement.
Totally could be.
And the publisher was like, we're not there yet.
Like
and
so settled she, down.
Yeah, so
yeah, that could be. I don't know.
But watch this space.
Yeah, we'll let you know as it happens.
And coming up after this, we're going to talk to Dr. Jen. She fields a question from someone asking about celebrating while Jewish with anti-Semitism on the rise. So stick around.
The Psychological Edge with Dr. Jen.
Joining us once again via the magic of ZoomTube is Dr. Jen Mann, licensed marriage, family, and child therapist and sports psychology consultant. You may know her from VH1's Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen, or VH1's Family Therapy with Dr. Jen, or her long-running radio show, The Dr. Jen Show. She's written 4 best-selling books, including The Relationship Fix, Dr. Jen's 6-step guide to improving communication, connection, and intimacy. It's Dr. Jen. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Gosh, I've missed you.
Right back at you.
I was thinking about you the other day because I was telling Sydney about your kitty Emmy, and we were talking about how when we would run together and how I had a whole conversation with Emmy while you were out of the room one day.
Emmy is a Pillow Cat. She's made many appearances on Pillow Cat and is really one of the absolute best workout cats ever. She will stay on the mat through an entire cardio workout, which says a lot because there's a lot of jumping up and down in the cardio class. So yes, I'm very proud of her and her Peloton contribution.
Well, she's a good Peloton supporter. Well, we have lots of questions for you that we'll be getting to over the next few weeks. And one of them comes from Julie Benson. I thought that this would resonate with you. She's Jewish, and she said being Jewish has been hard this year. I can't even imagine. She says that they only celebrate Hanukkah in her home. And while they celebrated with much love with family and friends, it's also felt isolating this year and upsetting with the rise in anti-Semitism, and so many of her Jewish friends and family did not want to display menorahs or draw any attention to the holiday. And it was really heartbreaking for her. And I feel that. I mean, I obviously can't experience it in the same way, but it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to hear.
But I appreciate your compassion for it. And it right now as a Jew, I can say it's a very hard time to be a Jew and to experiences the kind of anti-Semitism that has just come out of the woodworks is very demoralizing. And I really understand what Julie is saying about Hanukkah and about kind of the conflict that a lot of Jews are feeling about, do you wear your Star of David? Do you put your Hanukkah, your menorah in the window like we are told to traditionally, or even your Shabbat candles? And I think that her feelings are really normal. And they're really understandable. And I also think it's a really important time to embrace traditions. And I know for me, and you know, the running joke in our family is like, I'm the bad Jew. Like one of my daughters is always teaching me about like the prayers and like things to do and the traditions and stuff. And I just did not grow up in a very religious home. But with all of this, I have embraced the traditions more than ever. I now light Shabbat candles. I'm now learning the prayers. And I think that it is really a time for those of us who are Jewish and who are friends of Jews to for us to embrace Judaism and for us to really stand strong. And, you know, I think that a lot of people who are not Jewish would be really surprised to know how much it means to your Jewish friends to have you reach out and say, hey, how are you doing? Or I want you to know, I support you. I love you. You know, I had a close friend who's not Jewish text me and say, I want you to know, I'm thinking of you. I love you. I've donated to this Jewish charity. I'm here for you if you want to talk. Other non-Jewish friends of mine who have posted things, that means so much to us. And I think that what Julie is experiencing is really normal. It's really understandable. And I think that so many of us are feeling that, and that it is a time to reach out to community. You know, I have really, again, as someone who's not very religious, I'm someone who I've reached out to Jewish friends. I formed a support group of other Jewish moms that I love and adore because I feel like I don't want to be isolated right now. And I really need that support of other people who are going through that. And I really encourage other people who are going through that to do that as well. Reach out to your community, reach out to friends of yours who you see posting things that are supporting Jews and fighting anti-Semitism. And it's a time to really create community if you don't already have it.
I feel like I don't want to speak for other people, and I don't even want to speak for you, Tom, but like, I feel like as a non-Jew, I don't know the right things to say and the right things to do. And I don't know what's stepping on toes. And honestly, I don't even understand what the whole world is all that upset about. I mean, let me be clear. I get that, like, all the attacks are bad. Like, I understand that, but it's so
killing people is bad.
Absolutely. Yes. I remain firm on that, but but I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. And so it's like, I don't even feel comfortable speaking about it because I can't speak about it intelligently. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I absolutely do. And I think that there are a lot of people who think they're speaking out intelligently who are not and who are getting their information from TikTok, who are getting their information from posts, who are getting a lot of misinformation. And it's really important to educate ourselves, especially if we're going to speak about the history of the Middle East, which is incredibly complex. I don't claim to be a specialist on the Middle East. There's still so much I am learning. But I think that it is important to speak out about humanity. And it's important to not be a hateful motherfucker. like that seems like pretty basic. Like to not hate someone because of their religion seems like pretty basic stuff. And that Jews today are seeing things that are incredibly reminiscent of the Holocaust. And to understand that we are a group that we've seen 6-7 million of us be killed, that we have a collective trauma that is being reignited and a collective PTSD that is being ignited. And to understand that if you care about anyone who's a Jew, and that is something to really understand on a deep and profound level, that we are people who have had many of us, millions of us murdered. And so when people are in the streets saying they want to kill us, this is going to be triggering for us.
Yeah, it's not just hyperbole, right? Like, no. It has happened, and it has happened in the not too distant past, right? Like, it's a baked in generational trauma in that, you know, I mean, there are still people alive who went through it, but there are certainly people whose parents went through it, who are still with us, whose grandparents went through it. It's not that long ago.
Yes. And it's not contextual.
Yeah.
It is in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is happening on the streets of New York. It's happening in the streets of LA. It's happening everywhere in between. It's happening all over this world. And I really appreciate that you guys are even addressing it on your podcast. That's very meaningful to me. I came in today not knowing that you would. And it means a lot to me that you guys are talking about it, because it is something that a lot of us are going through. And, you know, to kind of bring it back to Peloton, I know that there are a lot of people who I've spoken with who are feeling some frustration about who's speaking up, who's not speaking up, who's saying what, and all of that. And I get that it is a complicated issue. And I get that nobody wants stock prices to go down. I get the complication of it. But also, I think it's important to understand, this also comes back to what Julie was saying about feeling alone on Hanukkah, that we've seen Peloton speak out against, you know, like Asian hate. We've seen them talk about Black Lives Matter. We've seen them talk about the importance of the LGBTQ community. But no, there hasn't been a lot that has been said about this. And I know that it's, again, it's a complicated issue, but some of the basics of this and of humanity, don't hate Jews because they're Jewish, is pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I will also point out that, you know, when Peloton did speak out against any of the, those issues, it was a different leadership. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that they should not say things, but at the same time, I get that there is probably a different philosophy based on the fact that they've changed pretty much everything from the original.
Yeah. Much more corporate. Before, it was much more individual and kind of what inspired people. And now it's more of a corporate focus and stock price focus, which I get.
Also, And I don't know if you know the answer to this. I don't know the answer to this, so I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But, you know, I remember at some point that somebody pointed out that there are people that work for Peloton who are also Palestinian. And I don't know how, I don't understand how you address that in a way that feels inclusive and of everybody. You know, that's that feels like a tough place to be.
Yeah, look, I almost feel like it needs to be acknowledged on different days. Like, I think that for a lot of Jews after October 7th, feeling like to see the slaughter and rape and kidnapping and torture of people and hostages who still have not come home, who are probably being raped and tortured in tunnels in Gaza right now, I think to address that in and of itself without having to put a disclaimer, again, like you said, nobody wants to see innocent civilians killed. Nobody does. It is a travesty. It is incredibly heartbreaking, especially to see children in the midst of all of this. And at the same time, these are two separate horrible issues to acknowledge. And it feels for a lot of Jewish people, when you put them together in one statement, like there isn't really a full acknowledgement. And like, it's, you know what? I think that addressing Islamophobia is important. And that deserves its own statement as well.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah. It comes off as like, not all men like that kind of.
Yeah.
So that's a
good analogy.
It's a very difficult line to walk.
It is.
Even when people's hearts are in the right place.
Yeah.
Which is why I've said so little.
I mean, for real. Yeah. It's like, but, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the right thing to say, but let me say this. Yeah. I don't want anybody to die, and I support Jewish people. So many people that have supported the podcast who are Jewish and that are like some of the funniest and the most loving and supporting people that I've ever met. So I'm pro Jew, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you know, it is always, again, like, I never thought that I would be in a position where, like, I go on social media and I have to unfollow people who are just saying very hateful things about my people. Like,
and I just don't even know how people have time or energy for that. Like, it's just, life is so short. Why is anybody expending energy towards that hate? Like, there's just, as we were talking about before the show, there's so much going on in everyone's individual lives. Why would you do that?
And also, why would you support terrorists?
Yeah, there's that.
Like, I think we're all on the same page. Nobody wants innocent civilians to die. But it's very confusing when people are supporting Hamas, when people are supporting a terrorist organization that is kidnapping people, torturing people, raping children, teens, women, men, like baby. Like, it's just, it's quite stunning.
It is.
Yeah. Well, on that note,
we're real day brightener around here.
Thank you for all of that.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
Until next time, where can people find you?
You can find me at Dr. Jen Mann, two ends on Jen, two ends on Mann on social media, especially Instagram and Insta stories.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I first started AG1 because I wanted to have more energy every day. And I was surprised that not only did I get that, but I also could focus better.
And you have a marathon to train for.
I do. Give me all the things. I replace my vitamins. I have prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, B vitamins, folate, magnesium. It's all in there. One scoop.
That's because AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support.
Yes. And I like to recommend it to people because it's also NSF certified for sport, and I will not take a supplement that is not. If there's one product that I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long.
If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1.
Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/clipout.
That's drinkag1.com/clipout.
Check it out.
Peloton Artist Collaboration.
The latest artist series features the new musical version of The Color Purple.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really cool. Neat to see. I want to see the show, too. I want to see the show.
Yeah, I saw the musical, like the stage production.
Yeah.
I didn't really...
No?
I didn't like the songs.
Oh.
Like, the songs just didn't work for me.
Okay,
and so
gotcha.
It's very popular, and people love it, and the movie is doing great, which is also... wonderful. I really love right now at the box office. I'm known them turning this into an episode of Real Spoilers.
You really are.
But there are so many movies doing well.
It is a good thing.
Yeah, like Color Purple's doing well. Wonka's doing well. But there's so many movies that are kind of on their own tracks. Like it's like normally
it's like one good one, everything else goes to shit.
Yeah, and also it seems like way the box office has been working coming out of COVID is pre-COVID. It was like, if you didn't make like $100 million that first weekend, you were screwed. Nobody cares about your movie and it's dead. And that's not what's happening at the box office currently. Like Wonka came out in that first week, they were like, that really wasn't what they were hoping for. But then it just kept making money. Color Purple's doing the same thing. And so it's cool to see. I'm glad.
It's also nice that January is not the cesspool of releases that it used to be.
That is for sure. Although we did get Night Swim last week.
Was that bad? I didn't go.
If you want your January to be full of shitty movies, might I recommend Night Swim?
Okay. Okay.
But, it's about a haunted swimming pool. I look forward to their sequel when it's about a haunted gazebo. Like what? A haunted swimming pool? Like, how is, like the whole movie, you're just like...
I don't know. How is that any different than, like, a haunted car in Christine, Stephen King? I mean, I don't know that it's any...
Because Stephen King's a genius and could make it work.
Hey, I agree right? with that, for like, sure. I'm just saying the premise isn't necessarily that the problem here. That's like all I'm saying.
A good filmmaker can make a dumb premise work, but we did not have that at play here. And... it was, yeah, I'm like, just don't go in the pool. It's just, hey, remember that time the pool killed somebody? What if we didn't use the pool again? Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Well, I hope that you take these classes that feature The Color Purple.
New content.
It is time for the TCO Top 5, where you get to chime in and let us know what your favorite classes of the week were. And then Crystal reads them back for all the people that need suggestions.
Yeah. And this week, since there were not a lot of new classes that hit in mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks, unless it was holiday classes, we had a lot of stuff that's kind of from the archive. So make sure that if you have any interest in these, you look at the date and get out there right away, because this first one comes from January of 2020 with Christine. Listen, it's probably not long for this world. It's a 10-minute FTP warm-up ride. Now, because it's Power Zone, you might be better, but we'll see. Anyway, anyway, so Dallas Bauer took this and she said, odd, but it was an FTP warm-up with Christine. I am a Peloton newbie since the very end of November, and I was looking for a short ride to go to with the rest of my stack. I was intrigued when I saw the offering because my January goal is to be ready to complete a FTP test, and it scares me. So I took the warm-up after reading the description, and I'm so glad I did. Christine was great, and now I know what to expect and will likely take it this week instead of putting it off. That's great.
Yes, and we should let you know, Dallas, you should be scared.
It's tough, but it's doable. Speaking of Valley Love, from November of 2023, a 30-minute Sundays with Love. And Naomi Nguyen said that this was her favorite class. She shared that she was getting back onto the bike after a very long time off. And the class that she loved was this class from November 26. It was the first class back where she felt like she was getting stronger and not just hurting through most of the class. Aw, that's special. It really is. Like, that takes you to a new place.
That is special. I think I'll take that class.
You're such a liar.
What did I lie about?
Taking that class.
You misinterpreted me.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I didn't say that. Up next.
Next, the favorite Peloton core strength. This is from December of 2023. This was a 10-minute core with Rebecca. And we are always at the Clip Out looking for a good go-to core class. Katie Bromley said that this class had four minutes of forearm planks and made her abs burn in
That's
the best
eight
of ways.
Arm planks. Right? Is that how that works? Four minutes of forearm planks would be eight arm planks.
So Katie said that she's not a big retaker of classes, but she has done this one several times and has it bookmarked to repeat. Okay, so this one is a favorite choose your adventure ride. I love this kind of class. Bex does these fairly often over on the runs, but this came from Trish Lalonde, 30-minute feel good ride with Allie from January 7th. And what Allie did was she did an option to pick which part of the class that you wanted to be the hardest. And then she called out two sets of instructions the entire class. Like I said, Bex does that and I absolutely love them. I haven't taken this class, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then our favorite unstackable ride. This came in from many people this week. January 6, 2024. This was with Robin, a 45-minute hit in hills. And let me just say, she was wearing all yellow. Michael Davern said that it was, oh my God, four sections, speed work, speed climbing, lots of one-to-one work and recovery, two Tabata sections, the last with 20 on, 10 off, repeated 10 times. I think we only did 7 of the 10 as time, thank God, ran out. Lots of Robinisms, but not too much. Good luck.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Hakuna Tabata. We have new split training classes for beginners.
I thought that the artwork and Asal's how she did this was great. So she came out with her first split training program in German, and it's all about strength. But then they took this photo together, and I thought that was great. So actual splits are not included. And there's a lot of new classes coming out with new stuff that's all for beginners. So if you haven't gotten a chance to check this class or this set of classes out, you should definitely do that. Lots of new stuff coming out this week.
And finally, we have a new Peloton challenge available that incorporates Lululemon.
Yeah, so Peloton and Lulu are kind of starting off the year by giving you a chance to get a special badge that's called Move For You, and you earn it by taking 5 or more Move For You classes, and you have to do it somewhere between January 10th and January 19th. So they have kind of special classes for that, and I'm curious to see how people like it.
Awesome. Well, keep an eye out for that.
Definitely.
Peloton birthdays.
And finally, we have 3 birthdays this week.
Wow.
First up is Cliff Dwenger on November. January 19th.
Happy birthday, Cliff.
Happy birthday. A belated happy birthday. It was in November. Ben Aldis on January 22nd. And Logan Aldridge on January 25th. So happy birthday, guys.
Yes, happy birthday. All the guys this week. Cliff, Ben, Logan. Happy birthday. That's interesting. We've got German, American, and British all there. We got several different countries.
Very evenly distributed.
Yes, very nice. We just need Australia, a little Austria would have hit everything.
Yes. And coming up after this, we're going to talk to Mandy Rose. She was the person who famously helped Tunde complete the New York City Marathon. She's going to tell us that story firsthand, so stick around.
Checking in with the Peloton community.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is Mandy Rose. Hey, Mandy, how's it going?
Hi, Mandy.
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you here. I wanted to kind of start with just a little bit of your Peloton background. When did you get your first piece of Peloton equipment or start doing Peloton workouts, whichever came first?
Sure. It was almost exactly 3 years ago. I think like November 9th or something. It's been 3 years since I got the bike.
Wow.
So I started with the bike.
Okay. Wow, that's crazy. It's because we're in 2023, and now that people have started getting the bike during the pandemic, and it's 3 years later, my brain is still having trouble with the fact that that's been 3 years.
When she said that, I was like, oh, so pre-pandemic, and I looked down at the date in the corner of my computer, and I was like, oh, that's not true at
all. That's not true.
Yeah.
So is the pandemic, was that like your impetus to get it, or had your eye on it for a while, little of both?
I definitely had my eye on it, but I was a longtime triathlete and I was training actually for an Ironman when everything shut down. So I just kind of like regrouped, gave myself some time and then took the plunge. So,
okay. So,
the plunge and the pedal and the run.
And the run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see a Peloton treadmill next to you
peeking
as well.
Out at us.
Yeah.
Yep. I love it.
When did you get your tread?
I got that about 2 years ago, or just over 2 years ago.
Okay.
So you were all in pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, once I make a decision, I just go in.
If they had a pool, would you buy that too?
I mean, I think about it.
Yeah. I would too.
I know. I'm very much aware.
If I think about it, I mean, I would pretend to think about it.
And then buy one.
Are you still doing triathlons now? Do you kind of know? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I decided to retire from that. And so just running stuff mostly nowadays.
Yeah. It's
a big commitment.
It is a big commitment, especially like the Ironman you were training for. Like that is a lot of hours of training. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm always impressed by people that do. I say that with a sense of jealousy, really, that like that people can commit that many hours to training. I wish that I could, but it's also exhausting.
It's a lot.
It is. Yeah.
It was fun. Well, I did it, definitely.
Did you get to finish that Ironman? Because I know things got weird.
No, I did three previous and that was my fourth. And then no, we just never made it happen. So went out with three and I'm cool with that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's no shame in that.
No, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
One time. Not... Half. Any travel.
Right.
Like anything you do. Awesome. I have to know if you got the Ironman tattoo though. I always see those.
I do.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I think I would too. If I finished that bad boy, I'd be like, yeah, let's do it.
Do they make you show any receipts? Will that tattoo artist just put that on anybody?
They should, but no.
What's that?
Maybe they should, but no. Ah.
Well, most recently, you came on our radar for being in the New York City Marathon. You had a big moment with Tunde, which has been everywhere, including I just saw Access Hollywood.
Wow.
So I have so many questions. But my first question is, what went through your head when you saw Tunde struggling at the end? I'm really curious.
Like, should we retell the story?
Oh, yeah,
real
we
quick
totally
for
should.
People that
I
aren't
forget.
Aware.
Not everybody is in my head. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Tom, tell the story. Okay. Well, maybe Andy, you tell the story. You tell the story.
How about the person who lived it?
I mean, I went into the New York City Marathon with an attitude of taking it as a tour, just soaking it all in. I'm a small town person. So New York City is very much out of my comfort zone and my norm. So I didn't have any time goals. I just wanted to experience it. So I ran the race and had a great time. And towards the last mile or half mile or so, I was approaching Tunde and her hair is very distinctive. I just thought she was walking and I've been in that spot many times. This is my 18th marathon. And it's a lonely, hard spot to be. So I just encouraged her and we finished together and it was amazing.
Yeah. But you're really downplaying what you did for her, you know, and I get it. I do. Because you're just like, what else are you going to do? But honestly, right. like my first thought when I saw Toon Day post was like, you saw her standing there and you went up to her. But like, it is a very lonely moment, but it's also a very like
vulnerable moment.
Vulnerable. Yeah.
Right.
And so like, I am so impressed that you went up to her because I would be scared too. Like, I wouldn't know right. where she's at in her head.
Right.
You know what I mean? I and so like, that's why I'm like, what made you decide? Like, what went through your head to be like, I'm going to say something?
I've thought of that many times. I think I just, in that moment, she was Toon Day from Peloton, who I admire greatly, but she was also a runner who needed a little help. And when you've done a few, you just know the look they give you. And she just gave me the look of like, just needed a little boost. And I did, I just decided to stick with her. I don't know. I didn't know at the time if it was the right decision. I was like, I hope I'm not being annoying. I don't. But and then when we finished, that was incredible. Like the best hug I've ever had. So
yeah. Yeah. It looked like a super intense, like you saved my life hug. Like it looked like that. It did.
Yeah, it was awesome. Definitely. And so then right after we, you know, separated at the end, I got my phone out and I called my husband. I'm like, I just finished the race at Toon Day. And he's like, are you hallucinating? No. So I was very happy when some cool pictures and videos came out. So like, see, I was not hallucinating.
Yeah. Like, how did somebody capture that? Because it looked like it was drone footage, what Toon Day showed on her phone.
It's like the continuous feed that of the finish line.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So one of my friends actually had got it too. And I think the one she posted was from Kendall. Kendall gotcha. Had sent me an extremely sweet message and had captured it and sent it to her. So. Yeah,
that's fascinating.
I think it's a great reminder for people because everybody who struggles feels like they're the only one who struggles. So to see a Peloton instructor who obviously is in great shape, having a moment like that is, I think, very humanizing and shows right. that like just because you're good in one area doesn't mean that you're going to excel in another. And I don't mean that to like.
Like she didn't do a good job, yeah, but like it wasn't easy for her
right.
in the same
like
way.
It's a different skill set than riding the bike. It's a different skill set than strength right. training, and that we all have areas where we're good or better than other areas, even mythical Peloton instructors.
Right.
Well, so can you put in perspective for those of us who don't use the metric system, how far is 800 meters? Like she said it was 800 meters, but like I was having trouble picturing, like, could you see the finish line?
When I first came upon her, I don't think we could quite finish it, but I had done the Central Park shakeout run with Bex actually. So I knew where we were. Otherwise I would have had no idea. So I knew it was just over the hill and it's a hill. So it's like extra punishment because you're running up a hill. So about a half mile or something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that visual.
And that would be once you had recuperated, maddening, I would think, to think you got that close and stopped.
Yeah. She would have been mad at herself.
Yeah.
Tough place to be, but she got it done. And I mean, what a huge accomplishment for her to get her first marathon done and on such a like insane level at New York, too.
Yeah. And it wasn't like that was a slouch of a time. Like it was like, what, 4 hours and 20 minutes or something? Like that's like that's crazy for the very first time of doing it, never having run that distance before, et cetera.
Incredible. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you said this is your 18th marathon. You had not done New York before. You said you're from a small town. Like, have you done any of the other world majors? Have you done any other marathons we might have heard of?
I've done Twin Cities several times and then Boston. But other than that, I don't, mostly smaller ones.
Yeah. Did you qualify for Boston? Heck, that's fast, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You're fast. Oh, that's a hard one to get into.
To run New York much faster, but I actually ended up with a hamstring injury in August. So that's where I just had a whole different plan going into this race and it worked out very well. So,
yeah, I mean, you finished next to Toon Day.
And my guess is you can probably get off the wait list for studio classes if you want to go
You're like, I have no idea.
You're like, hey, remember me?
Mandy seems like she would be uncomfortable pulling that card, and I don't blame you, Mandy.
She was uncomfortable just at me making that joke.
I know. Had you been into the studio before to take any classes?
So marathon week, I did a ride with Camila, and that was super fun. And then my daughter is 16, and we did a run with Andy the day before the marathon. So that was our first studio experiences, and it was so fun, ton of fun. Like, it couldn't have been better. So it worked out perfectly.
So for all the people who struggle to get into classes, it's worth it. Keep trying, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. It's super fun. Definitely.
I think so. But I think everybody knows I'm biased. So. Yeah.
So as someone who was already an avid runner and then got a Peloton tread, was there like a culture shock or shift in terms of how you train? Because I would think that you were probably had a system where you had your playlist or an audiobook or a podcast, and now you have an instructor. I'm just curious what that was like, making that shift.
Yeah, so I went into it not expecting to enjoy the instructors. I kind of had the, like, I've been doing this forever attitude. And the more I got into it, the more, I mean, honestly, Bex has completely changed how I run. I had taken a lot of time off between when I got the tread and, well, there was just a gap. I went from basically not running for a while to then running a race and qualifying for Boston and almost PRing with like 4 months of training with Bex. So, I mean, the coaching in the community is life-changing.
What about what Bex did that's different than what you were doing before? Super curious.
I just think on my own at home, I was really comfortable. You just get your miles in, you trot along, you maybe push it once in a while. But then when you're sitting in front of the metrics and having someone tell you, like, no, you need to push yourself, you do.
Yeah.
And it just, I found legs I didn't know I had. So, I mean, I had a bit of speed before, but it's much more enjoyable now. And I love the community that comes with it. It's much more than a treadmill and a bike.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, because I do think that there are a lot of people that have been running for years that think, like, well, I know how to do this. What do I?
Exactly.
I don't know. Do you yapping at me?
No, I agree with that.
Especially like HIIT workouts. Never would have done a HIIT workout before. I never did a hill on a treadmill before. It was like, yeah. And now it's like, bring it on. You know, I look forward to it.
Now it's just a challenge, and you, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get that.
I really feel like that's something that Peloton should probably focus on, like, more in a niche way, not in like their big commercials, but like when they're going to these marathons, like, I think they need to convince the avid runners who are already at an elite level that they have an offering for them. Cause I think a lot of them are like, I'm an elite athlete. You're for housewives.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was sort of my take immediately, and just, it was not the case. So definitely something for that, for sure.
What made you be open to trying it, to like taking the class? Was it because you'd already taken bike classes and you knew that was fun? Like, I'm curious if you felt like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this, I don't need it.
I'm also a big Allie Love fan, and I was doing her Boss October, and she was doing a live hitting hills with Bex, actually. And that's what turned me on to Bex. And then I was just hooked. So yeah, getting the bike and then just turning it into the run, basically. So
that's fabulous.
It like gave you the, like, a sense of security that, like, oh, if a bike ride is this fun and I already like running, then this should level that up.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. Do you think you will go after the Tread Plus, or are you going to stick with your Tread?
I love the Plus, definitely. That was what I had tried it originally in the store. I think when I got the bike, and then I got recalled. I really like the Tread. I have no complaints. It works perfectly, but I just think the Plus is where it's at.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's. I always say the Tread is fine. Like, it's fine. It's a good product. Sure. But the Tread Plus is like amazing.
And then I always say, if she got me a Christmas gift and she asked what I thought of it, and I said, it's fine. It's no, it's totally fine.
I want to circle back. So how did the Access Hollywood thing come up? Like, did they just contact you and they were like, we want a surprise Tune Day?
Yeah. They had emailed me like within minutes of Tune Day's post. She works with them now, so it makes perfect sense. And I wasn't in New York anymore because I came home right away. And we just set up a Zoom meeting and yeah, I'm like, okay, I mean, if you guys want to talk to me, I'll sit in a patient room and talk to you. But it was really fun. It's just very, like, unreal. I keep using the word surreal because it's just funny when people care so much.
Yeah, for no, sure. I totally get that.
It's a shame that Zoom exists because pre-Zoom, you probably would have got a free trip to New York out of it.
Yeah, they probably would have been like, come on back. But still awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have plans to try to get back into New York next year? Or you're like, I did that. I'm on to other marathons. What are you thinking?
I don't want to do New York every year. I'd like to go back and do some studio stuff maybe next summer or something like that. I have a 16-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old daughter. And then next year, the 15-year-old will be 16, so she can do studio stuff too. And I'll probably do a small marathon here in the spring for a time. And Susie Chan is another inspiration. And I got into ultras because of her. So I'll probably do another one of those. So, yeah.
Yeah. Susie's cool. Amazing.
So another ultra? You've done an ultra?
It was a 50K. So like a baby ultra.
Oh, but I thought you did something 50. Difficult. My apologies. We'll remove this in post.
Not on a Susie Chan level ultra, okay? Like, that's all. It was awesome, though. I'm super glad I did it. And I never would have without her little inspiration, so.
She's incredible. But, like,
I know.
50K is no joke. Like, that's...
For sure.
That's a lot of miles.
It was fun.
Yeah. How does it compare in your mind to a marathon versus a half marathon? How are they different?
So the trail community is just different. It's focused on time. It's just different. I mean, there's lots of snacks the whole way, like food, not just goos and grossness. I think more about like just soaking in nature and I don't know. It's just very different, more relaxed. I really like the one I did. It was awesome. So
which one did you do?
It's just a different vibe. I mean, we're all runners, but trail running is a little different.
And which one did you do?
One in Minnesota, it's just Afton. It's a park at it's like a ski area. So
awesome.
Quite hilly.
I was going to say, that sounds like a good thing you were doing the hills.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
hills aren't hidden. Yeah. They're right there where everybody can see them.
Yeah. It's not hidden hills, yeah. Dom. He keeps saying that hit in hills is hidden hills.
Right?
I just realized like a month ago that after like 7 years of this show that people hadn't been saying hidden hills.
We've been saying hit. Exactly.
Like, I finally saw it in writing.
And I
was like, oh, that's what they've been talking about. What is your leaderboard name?
Mandy Rose.
That's easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just curious, as an avid runner, do you have any advice for people who are just getting a Peloton?
Just jump in and listen to your body. Take it little steps at a time. There's something for everyone. I think that's a big piece of it, too, is there's so many instructors and so many styles of music and styles of classes. And so to just try something new, if you're feeling stagnant or stuck, there's always something different. But the main thing is just easing in and listening to your body.
Yeah, that's good advice.
It's never too late. I mean, everyone can do this stuff.
Is there an instructor that you would like to rescue in the future?
No.
Is there an instructor you would like to rescue you?
No. I mean, if anyone's out there, I gladly will help again. It's something I've done before. It's just how it works out. You just got to put yourself out there and help out once in a while.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And hope that if you're in that spot, someone else can lift you up too. So
for sure. I remember one time I was running and this guy, he was like, stop looking down, look up. But it didn't help me. It just made me mad.
And that was one of my concerns when I approached her, like, hopefully this isn't too much, but it worked out.
Yeah, I think what you did was a little different. And I know that the person who said that to me was trying to be helpful too. Like, I know that, but like, literally that was all I had at that moment, you know?
I get that. Completely get that. So
I thought it was like running equivalent of like, you'd be a lot prettier if you smiled.
It's the worst. Yeah.
Well, Mandy, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I love following you guys on social. It's fun to know what's going on all the time. So,
well, it was fun to watch your moment. It was super exciting. And it was really sweet to see when Tunde posted it. Like, it brought tears to my eyes. You could really see the emotion in that hug that she gave you.
For sure.
And I was really glad that she shared it. And we appreciate you sharing your part of the story here. So thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much. So I guess that brings this episode to a close. Until next week, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe. You can find me on all the socials at Clip Out Crystal and the Peloton leaderboard at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/TomOKeefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/TheClipOut while you're there. Like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, you get ad-free episodes, and we like you extra. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, keep pedaling.
And running.
And rowing.
Bye.